Here's another edition of BayCare Health Systems podcast series, BayCare Health Chat with Melanie Cole.
We've all misplaced keys, blanked on someone's name, or forgotten a phone number. When we're young, we don't pay so much attention to those kinds of lapses, but as we grow older, sometimes we start to worry about what they mean. My guest today is Dr. Shannon Foster. She's a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in neuropsychology and geropsychology at BayCare Health System. Dr. Foster, is memory loss a normal part of aging? Is it something that's inevitable or not?
Well, there is some normal memory loss that comes along with aging. For all of us, really beginning around the age of 30, we start to experience a decline in terms of memory as well as some other thinking skills, like even how quickly we think. And that for that type of memory loss, that's the kind where you generally remember it later. It doesn't really affect your everyday. You can help out by doing things like repeating what's been said or relating it to something you already know. That's normal memory loss. But then there's also other types of memory loss that's not normal. So when a person comes to see me, the other two categories they might fall into would be what we'd classify as either mild cognitive impairment or dementia. In both of those, really, it's memory loss greater than we expect for age. And in the case of mild cognitive impairment, that's not something that's impacting everyday activities like driving or managing finances. And in dementia, it is something that then begins to affect those everyday skills.
People worry about Alzheimer's. Tell us a little bit about the difference between Alzheimer's disease and how it's different from some of this dementia that you're discussing.
Okay, so basically, dementia is an umbrella type of a term. It means you've got memory loss greater than we expect for age, as well as difficulty in at least one or other type of thinking skill, like language functions, visual functions, and that's then causing these problems in everyday activities. But something has to cause dementia. So Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia, but there are other things that can cause it as well. In the case of Alzheimer's disease, that's really characterized by a problem with memory in terms of storing new memories. So a person really has difficulty actually laying down new memories. They may be able to remember things from the past, but they have trouble learning new things. So that's what we call rapid forgetting, where you've just said something and maybe 5 minutes later they might repeat themselves or ask the same question. That's the kind of memory loss we see in Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up, because that can be a little confusing. So tell us a little bit about how a diagnosis is made. If somebody is starting to fear that they are forgetting things or becoming more forgetful, what is their first step?
So usually, often that begins with their medical doctor. So they might complain to their doctor that they feel like they're having more memory difficulties, or a family member might mention that to a medical doctor. And in that case, hopefully, the first step is a really thorough medical evaluation to rule out anything that might be causing memory loss, but that could be reversible. So for instance, for some people, if they have a vitamin deficiency, especially vitamin B12, that could cause memory problems. Or perhaps they have a sleep disorder like sleep apnea, that could cause memory problems. Or even low thyroid functioning. So the first thing's really a good thorough medical evaluation to rule out anything that could be reversible. After that, then a primary care may either just directly order neuropsychological testing, or they might refer a person to a neurologist. And a neurologist often will do things like order a brain scan, so either a head CT or a brain MRI, to look at the structure, maybe the function of the brain, to see if there's any abnormalities. And then often then they would refer to neuropsych. What I do then when somebody comes to see me is we do a really thorough kind of interview that gives background information like educational history, occupational history, to put things into context, as well as information about just everyday functioning. Is a person doing fine in terms of managing finances and driving, et cetera? Then we usually do testing, and that testing is usually, you know, just the person who's being evaluated with the person testing them, paper and pencil type testing, where we're testing pretty much everything the brain does, from attention and concentration to language skills, visual skills, memory, what we call executive functions, like switching attention from one thing to another. So the person engages in those tests. After testing, we compare their scores to other people, their age, their level of education in some cases. And then we can see what's just normal for age. If we're looking at some, if scores are falling below that, then we look at the pattern of difficulties, which helps helps us understand what part of the brain is likely involved. And then that helps us figure out, is this, are we looking at mild cognitive impairment? Are we looking at dementia? If so, if we're looking at dementia, what's underlying that? Is it Alzheimer's disease, or is it something else like vascular disease?
Are there treatment options for dementia? Is there anything that can stop or reverse this kind of disease process? Give us some of the behavioral strategies as well that people or their loved ones can try at home to optimize memory function.
Okay, so there's a couple pieces to that. So in terms of, is there anything that can be done from a treatment perspective, it really does depend on what's underlying the disease process. So if a person has vascular disease and that's what's causing the memory problems, then the most important thing is to treat the underlying vascular conditions. If it's Alzheimer's disease, there are some medications that are available. They don't stop or reverse the disease process, but they can maybe keep a person at a higher functional level for a longer period of time. As far as things that are generally helpful, pretty much the best thing you can do for your brain is to take good care of your heart. That vascular system that supplies blood to both of them, it's critical. So good cardiovascular exercise is actually pretty much the best thing you can do for your brain. But also eating a heart-healthy diet, that type of thing, is just overall good for the brain. In terms of strategies, things people can do at home, that really depends on kind of what the memory problem is and what's underlying it. So when I say that, what I mean is, in vascular disease, really the problem is not in storing the information like it is with Alzheimer's disease, but it has more to do with how the information is getting into the brain and being able to retrieve it. So in this case, people can benefit from cues. So using a calendar, using notes, those things are actually helpful for a person with memory loss caused by vascular disease. But in the case of Alzheimer's disease, the problem is in actually storing that new information. So they're not going to benefit from a cue. It doesn't help to say, well, don't you remember? They don't remember. It didn't get stored. So really what needs to happen then is giving a person the information they need at the time that it's useful to them. If they have a doctor's appointment, telling them in the half hour they need beforehand to get ready for the appointment. Otherwise, you're just giving them information that's going to become lost, and it becomes frustrating for both people.
Wow, great advice. Really usable advice. How would you like to wrap this up, Dr. Foster, with your best advice about memory loss as maybe it relates to age or as it might not, and what you want people to know about what's normal and when the red flags come up and say, you know what, something is not right here?
I'd say basically if you're able to adapt to the changes that come along with age in terms of memory, and you can use strategies to get around those changes that you're experiencing. So you can use notes, you can use a calendar, you maybe give yourself more time to do tasks. If you can adapt to the changes you're experiencing, that's probably normal aging. But if you're having more trouble adapting and you're needing to take a lot more time or you're needing other people to help, then that is probably not normal aging. But if you're not sure, the best thing really is to seek an evaluation. At a minimum, we establish a baseline that we can use for comparison down the road.
Great advice. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Foster, and for letting us know what's normal, what's not, and when we should really seek care. Thank you again. You're listening to BayCare Health Chat. For more information, please visit baycare.org. That's baycare.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.